This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. Now, in about 15 minutes, we're going to be bringing you the KLCI opening numbers as well as some of the latest corporate news. We are also running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, are we ready to lift the MCO and restart the economy? So your options are yes, yes, but in stages, not yet, or don't know. Tell us why or why not you think the way you do. 53% have said yes, but in stages, whereas 39% have said not yet. We've got a couple of comments that we're going to go through in just a little bit, but in the meantime, we're taking a look at Apple. Because at the end of last week, Bloomberg reported that Apple CEO Tim Cook is confident that Apple would come out strong from the crisis as it did after the 2008 recession and following a near bankruptcy in the late 1990s. So one of the things he cited was their strong balance sheet, as well as that they would keep investing in research and development and future products.
And speaking of products, Apple is largely expected to launch its 5G phones later this year. But there are some concerns on now on their ability to launch in September with the current supply chain disruptions.
So for more on this, we speak to Daniel Ives, Managing Director for Equities Research at Wedbush Securities this morning. Thank you for joining us, Dan. Now, tell us, how concerned are you about Apple's supply chain? Are we going to see a delay to this year's flagship event?
Yeah, the supply chain obviously continues to be an issue for Apple. But ultimately, right now, I think that's starting to correct itself probably by mid to late May. I think the bigger issue is just the overall demand story and the global lockdown with COVID-19. And I think ultimately those two factors push the iPhone 12, the long-awaited 5G phone, probably to later this year. We think November, maybe December, and it does get pushed out from its original September timeframe.
And Dan, since you mentioned demand, right, what are your expectations in terms of Apple selling this iPhone 12? Will it be that revolutionary phone that will kickstart iPhone sales, which have been somewhat tapered, muted in the last few years?
Yeah, we believe in terms of 5G, it's a super cycle. In other words, overall, right now, about 350 million of the 925 million install base right now has not upgraded their phone in 42 months. So there's massive pent-up demand. I believe we're going to be looking at, you know, call it 400 million iPhones that upgrade over the next 2 years. Now, that's why iPhone 12, the 5G, it's its most important product cycle, at least since iPhone 6, and maybe ever. So that's why the last thing they can do is release this into a tempered demand environment and does not be strong out of the gates. That's why timing is going to be key here.
Now, Dan, you've got an outperform on this stock with a 12-month target price of $335. What's the justification for this, particularly in amidst this current global environment?
Yeah, look, if you're looking at a stock for the next quarter or two, you're not going to really own any of these stocks, let alone Apple. It's really for the other side of the dark valley in terms of where we would own this. On a sum of the parts, I view the services business as worth $500 million, which basically means you're getting the hardware business, the iPhone business, for roughly 2x revenues here. Now, I still think when we get onto the other side of this, and that's what investors are looking at, that gives us justification to be bullish in the stock. And I think that's also why the stock's held in there, despite what's going to be a 1 to 2 quarter, we'll call it an economic apocalypse is what it really is. But then when it starts to normalize into September, December, that's what the street's focused on.
And then how have Apple's efforts to monetize their services, especially the Apple TV, been? Has it gained any traction?
Well, the services overall has really been, really one of the saving areas, especially in this environment, because we're talking about something that's 50 billion plus in terms of as an annual revenue stream. I think that's worth $500 million. Now, in terms of Apple TV Plus, right now we think they have about 20 to 25 million customers in terms of what they brought on, but many of those are free. The issue for Apple on the streaming side continues to be content. They're missing tons of content. You only have really 9 core shows. And then you're going up against Netflix, Disney, Peacock, and others. And that's why right now I'd call it tepid success the missing piece for Apple continues to be content. And that's why we ultimately think they're going to, you know, have to seriously consider an acquisition of a studio. We've talked about Sony Pictures, MGM, Lionsgate as potential targets over the next 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, you mentioned acquisitions here, right? We know that Apple has an incredible cash pile. But in this time, right, do you see them actually conserving cash or, like you say, pursue an M&A opportunity or just revert to share buyback? Because I guess, you know, there's a downside risk here in this current environment.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a combination. I mean, you're talking about a company that has $200 billion of cash and is going to generate about $40 to $50 billion of cash this year. So they continue to have that cash neutral strategy where they're focused on buybacks. But I think the difference now is that they're going to have to be more aggressive on M&A, specifically in content. And if they're not, it's going to be hard to see them gaining much success, just given also there's a lack of content. And given the current environment, you can't roll out original programming or even start it. So that's a big hole right now in terms of their streaming efforts.
And Dan, so will Apple have to change their marketing and distribution strategy in a post-COVID-19 era? Will consumers still have the appetite for these highly priced iPhones?
It's a great question because post-COVID-19, it's a different world. I mean, when you look at unemployment, not just in the U.S., but even globally, look, I still believe this is something, it depends on your view. If you view this as a 1 to 2 quarter deep and just nasty economic recession, then this is something that Apple ultimately recovers from. And you see the demand on the other side of it. If you think this goes on for longer, 12, 18, 24 months, then demand's going to start to be much more tempered in terms of what you're seeing for the iPhone, as well as any high-priced item. You know, we're more in the former of that. You know, I do believe as uncertain of an environment we're in, it's going to be short and deep. And that's why on the other side of this, I think the overall demand story, obviously dented because of the consumer environment, but not dramatically change the way we look at it today in terms of the longer-term story.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Dan. That was Daniel Ives, Managing Director for Equities Research at Wedbush Securities. Now, Apple has also said that it thinks it can begin reopening some of its U.S. stores early next month as well. And it reopened its lone retail store in South Korea just last week. So this was the first location to come back online since they closed all 460 of their stores outside of China in March.
And guess what? There was a line outside the Seoul Apple store. Yes, everybody wore their masks and they were practicing social distancing, but there was a line. So there was some pent-up demand. But over, I think on Friday, Apple also launched their iPhone SE, which is, I guess, a cheaper version of their premier phones.
Yes, the budget iPhone,
yeah,
which is still 2,000 ringgit.
Yes, budget by Apple standards. That's the new term. Well, maybe it's a good launch because, you know, if you do desperately need your iPhone, but you don't want to pay those incredibly, you know, eye-watering prices of above 5,000 ringgit, then the SE is one option. But I think everybody's really just going to watch and wait and see what Apple does because typically they launch in September, but as Dan says, it's probably going to be pushed to November. So in November, we'll see what the 5G phone will be like, the iPhone 12. What kind of pricing will it have? And will consumers have this appetite, like he says, in these current market conditions to fork out, you know, that US be it 1,000, 2,000 price tag that it typically that these phones typically fetch.
It's also dependent on the situation for the coronavirus outbreak, right? Because in a lot of countries now, I think officials are saying, okay, you know, the virus is the number of cases is starting to plateau. Maybe maybe we could see a recovery in a couple of months' time. But there is always the danger of a second wave as well, which, you know, if Apple is very unlucky, would come about the September November time. So if we find ourselves in the midst of yet another outbreak, how long can Apple feasibly put off the launches of their 5G phones? When, and how much will this hit their balance sheet is the iPhone SE going to make up for the cost of it? No, right? Because the iPhone SE is only a small portion.
Yeah, it has always been a small portion of the sales. It's the big phones, right, that come out in September. Those are the ones that really are the killer applications or the killer products for Apple. But what's interesting in the COVID-19 space is that Apple and Google, who normally never work together, guys, they are actually adding new features to their mobile operating systems to make it possible for certain approved apps run by government health agencies to use Bluetooth radios to track physical proximity between phones. Now, we all know, you know, everyone's using technology, right, to kind of overcome the COVID-19 pandemic, and contact tracing is the way to go. So it's unusual you see these two big IT companies who normally don't talk to each other coming together. And you know why? Because they have a reach of as many as 3 billion people using the, whether it's an iOS or whether it is, what is the other application? You know, the non-iOS applications. Android. Guess what phone I use, guys? Of course, privacy issues still are out there. So, you know, question mark there. But in terms of Apple this morning, it closed on Friday, $282. Still the market favorite. 30 buys, 10 sells, and 5 holds. Consensus target price still above $300. Everybody's watching the $200 billion cash.
Am I the only one slightly concerned about how Orwellian this sounds, that governments are going to be working with two of the largest tech companies in the world to install tracing and tracking capabilities into our phones?
This is the future.
It is indeed. Now we're heading into the 9 o'clock news bulletin. And then after that, we're taking a look at the KLCI opening as well as some corporate news. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.